This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Krivitsky.
Welcome to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Bobby Krivitsky alongside Brendan Connolly coming to you live from the Pepe compound in Boston, Massachusetts. We got John Bellmer producing the show back in Houston, Texas. Brendan, let me ask you this. General philosophy, if you were to play the role of GM or president of basketball operations, if you believe that your team was set up to be a championship contender for years to come, would you sacrifice that to increase your odds of winning a title in the next one or two seasons?
I think it depends on the situation that we're talking about, and I believe
you're just talking in general right now. Yeah. There's no reason at all to ask a question like this.
I mean,
our next segment is going to be all about this.
I mean, I think I have a hint as to where you're going here. I think it depends on the situation. Maybe you'll have to present this scenario that you're laying out for me.
Well, let's just say I'm not definitively saying that these two things are related, but up next, to give you a little rundown preview, we are going to be diving deep into the latest intel about Kevin Durant and where he's not listed as a seven-footer. I'm going to say the seven-foot Slim Reaper and former league MVP is taking his talents next season. So if you want to connect those dots, by all means, people, go right ahead. And then after that, 8:25 Eastern, we're going to be talking about the MLB trade deadline, which is fast approaching on August 2nd. The latest regarding most notably Juan Soto and our thoughts on him. The Red Sox, who seem to be plummeting and are most likely in for a fire sale, and a bunch of other teams, including who Brendan and I think is the title contender most in need of a needle-moving acquisition between now and the trade deadline expiring. We've also got Gambling Corner coming up at 8:40 Eastern with good friend of the program, Connor Mack, professional sports handicapper. Loyal listeners know him well. His advice, second to none, a sharp amongst sharps. And then we've got major retirement news, Brendan, in the NFL that we're going to dive into in the second hour, as well as some thoughts and a key takeaway related to David Ortiz's enshrinement in Cooperstown, including who wasn't there. We've got that. We've got more on the NBA front, including the Lakers and Russell Westbrook. We've also going to be talking a little around-the-horn NFL-style segment at 9:40 Eastern. All that and more on the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Krivitsky.
You're listening to the Diehards here on the SportsMap Radio Network. Bobby Krivitsky alongside Brendan Connolly. We got John Bellmer producing the show in Houston. We come to you live from the Pepe compound in Boston. Brendan, enough dancing around the topic. We've teased it as best we could in the opener. The latest regarding Kevin Durant includes this. First, there was a late-night Woj bomb. I happened to be up because I'm an insomniac.
Of course
so
you
were. It was like 2:45 on the East Coast. And Woj comes out of nowhere with, just want to let the world know that the Celtics have offered Jaylen Brown to the Nets, and we'll see what happens. And then Shams follows it up this morning from The Athletic, saying that the Celtics' offer was Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a first-round pick in exchange for Durant, and Brooklyn countered by saying you need to get your weight up and you need to include multiple first-round picks and reigning Defensive Player of the Year Marcus Smart if this is to get done. And the Celtics, of course, are not exactly rushing to get that done, so the two sides are at an impasse. Let's start first with just your general thoughts.
Well, I woke up this morning and just opened up Twitter because I'm a crazy man who immediately looks to that app.
It's kind of.
Back in the day, I used to have the paper copy of the Herald. I would read it every single morning. Now I just open up the app and I scroll through. Try to click on as many articles and help as many businesses out as possible. I saw this and I immediately just started texting all my friends like, hey, guess who's finally coming to Boston? Guess who's finally coming to Boston? Because I've always been putting out the hot take that the Celtics should go after a guy like KD. If, one caveat here, if they haven't been able to find out whether Jaylen Brown is going to commit long-term to the team. I also found it very curious that all this stuff is coming out and heating up again on the heels of that photo coming out of him partying with Kanye West and Kyrie Irving about a couple of days ago or so. It was pretty unique. So, I don't know. There are a lot of cool storylines to go with this. And then Jaylen Brown himself put out a tweet, the shaking my head tweet around early this afternoon. So, I don't know. I don't know which way you want to go with it, but there's a lot of meat on that bone.
There is a lot of meat on it. I guess I'll start by making, interestingly enough, a point about where I stand on this. And we've talked about it on the air before. And that is that Mark Murphy, veteran Celtics and NBA reporter, does outstanding work. And so he spoke to someone close to Jaylen Brown. And the response he got to your question of how does Jaylen Brown feel about Boston was, quote, "He loves it in Boston. He was two games away from a championship. He's happy and looking forward to coming back. Dot, dot, dot. Like Kawhi, AD, and others on that level, he's going to be included in every report because of who he is." So that's an important part of the equation, too, is that, look, you always have to question who has what to benefit, especially the most to gain from feeding information out to the media. And we appreciate it when it happens and all that. And sometimes it's valid information, sometimes it's not. I think players today, it's just too obvious and they're too savvy to really drive a wedge between player and franchise if that's the ultimate goal and it lacks substance. But in a case like this, the one thing that people don't seem to be able to unearth is, did the Celtics actually reach the point of offering Jaylen Brown in a package for Kevin Durant?
Well, I think whenever you see a case like this, you always have to point out wherever there's smoke, there's typically fire. The fact that Woj is tweeting this out at 2:30 in the morning tells me that he's trying to beat Shams to the punch on his story, and he has enough evidence and enough reason to back up that report. And the fact that Shams followed it up, usually you don't see Shams follow up a Woj report unless it's actually credible. In this case, they both tweeted out similar storylines, and Shams added to it. Now, do I think the Celtics are going to want to overpay and really throw Marcus Smart in on top of all the other things that would have to go with Jaylen Brown, the picks, and maybe another couple of bench pieces? I don't know, but I think they have a better option now since they've signed or they brought in Malcolm Brogdon, potentially, so because that gives them an option here to trade Marcus Smart if needed.
It gives them more flexibility, for sure, and a nice insurance policy if they want to go that route. They clearly don't, at least not at the moment. And I don't blame them. You also just can't escape the fact that right now teams are reluctant to make an offer of any kind to the Nets for Durant. The Raptors, for instance, not Scottie Barnes.
Nope.
And so no offer has been made from that side, to give you one example. The Miami Heat don't really have an attractive pitch to put together.
Unless
the
they want to give up Bam Adebayo, and they do not
funky.
Want. Yeah, and then, of course, you don't want to do that. That's your centerpiece. That's your Tatum,
well,
if you're Miami,
so
for the future.
Also, there's Bam and Ben Simmons cannot be on the same team. It's a contractual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to get into the specifics. That's just the surface level takeaway to be aware of there. So, for instance, if the Heat are willing to offer Bam, which is not to say that they are, then they have to also be comfortable taking back Ben Simmons, or the two with sides can find a third party to reroute him. So it gets real complicated there, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you're the Nets saying, Kevin Durant wants out. He doesn't appear to be softening in his stance. One of his issues was with Sean Marks. We've given an extension. And we need to drum up some better offers here. So it would make sense that they would be the side putting out there, hey, just to let everyone know, Boston offered Jaylen Brown and a pick and a good role player in Derek White. Let's see where you're at now and see if that starts to juice these offers and gets people to come to the table. It doesn't mean it's not true, but it's very clear of what side put all of this information out.
Yeah, you would have to believe it's the Nets putting most of this information out. Maybe Sean Marks himself. Like, just, you got to look at how this whole thing broke down. I was listening to the Sports Hub earlier. Jimmy Stewart has a lot of those inside sources around the NBA, and he was saying kind of all the opposite things from the Celtics side of it, seemingly. So, again, you have to take it for what it's worth. But whenever somebody
just
is...
Just so there's no confusion for any listeners, when you say he was putting out the opposite, elaborate on that.
So, I'll have to pull up his Twitter feed, but he was saying, like, how a lot of the stuff was... I got to pull up the exact Twitter feed here, but
okay, so we'll circle
back to that in a minute. But essentially saying that this wasn't 100% true. However, I do trust guys like Woj and Shams, especially when they both put out the report and just add to it as the day progresses.
Well, so now you're talking about two different things, because it's not saying Woj couldn't sleep, he's tossing and turning, he's counting sheep, and all of a sudden he just makes this up out of thin air, and then Shams says, well, I don't want to look like an idiot, so he makes up his more information. They were told this, and they were told this probably by credible people. Like you said, maybe Sean Marks is involved, maybe he is, but reputable people came to those two with information. Whether that information is contrived, embellished, something in between perhaps, throw a better adjective out there to describe it, go right ahead. But I think that ultimately the Celtics have been consistent. And again, you can always play the role of skeptic and say, what are they going to say publicly? But they've been pretty adamant that they want to build around the Jays and believe they can build a sustainable title contender with that approach. They've gone, again, you know, yes, Malcolm Brogdon creates an insurance policy for Marcus Smart, but they've also tried to build their current roster around the Jays, adding Gallinari, adding Malcolm Brogdon. It's made them on some sport books the betting favorite prior to a Kevin Durant resolution, including FanDuel. So to me, I look at it and say, again, without definitively knowing, because it's perfectly believable that they made an offer, I lean towards it being at a minimum embellished.
And that's kind of where I got back to James Stewart's post here. I found his tweet from earlier. He had a little bit more on the air, but he was quote tweeting our friend Dan Greenberg, who basically said earlier today, not one Brad move had even the slightest leak since he got the job. So I find it highly unlikely that suddenly changes. And then Jay Stu says, I'm Team Greenberg on this one. This offer is the Nets leaking it. I'm not even sure there was an offer from the Celtics to the Nets here. The story with the Celtics is more about Jaylen Brown and how he feels and going now and going forward. That's a tweet
exactly.
for another day.
And that's an element that, you know, I've written about for SI. We've discussed it together on these airwaves, is that if the Celtics are, in fact, committed to Jaylen Brown, at a minimum, they need to make that abundantly clear to Jaylen Brown. Now, the way that I would approach it personally is I would go public with that, because it makes it a little bit harder for when fans and media are talking about his name coming up in a trade rumor for it to stick. If a report like this comes out again regarding the next Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, but at the same time, it's great to hear Jaylen Brown have someone close to him relaying to Mark Murphy that he understands it comes with the territory when you're a young former all-star in a league where there's the highest rate of superstar turnover, and it usually happens via trade. Your name's going to come up all the time.
Yes, it is. Do you think we should glean from Jaylen Brown's tweet earlier today? Which way do you think he's going with that?
So based on the later reporting from Mark Murphy, I think he's saying this is ridiculous, and it's more just people trying to have something to consume in the offseason.
I mean, hey, we all love that. That's why we're NBA fans, and the NBA offseason is the best time of year, and this is the juiciest of rumors there is. I don't know. I like to look at it in all kinds of ways, because I just like to stir the pot.
So, again, you get to play GM for a second. You would make the deal. Would you put Marcus Smart in the package if necessary? How far are you willing to bring Kevin Durant?
If you asked me this before they brought Brogdon in, I would have said no. But now, I consider it. You have to know what Jaylen Brown's commitment level is. If we're basing it on Mark Murphy's report, and I believe Mark Murphy is definitely keyed in with the Celtics, then you should believe that the Celtics can lock him up long term, in which case I would not make the deal. But if the Celtics have any inside tips as to whether he'd be willing to jump ship, maybe go to L.A. and start a whole new career and be the man out there somewhere in a couple of years, I don't know. I would consider doing it. I would just at least look at the option.
Yeah, the windows close faster than these teams and even the players themselves often anticipate. But it does look like the Celtics are set up to be able to build a sustainable contender around their current core of most notably Tatum and Brown. Stick with us here on the Diehards. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk about the MLB trade deadline, most notably Juan Soto, and also the contender most in need of help. That's coming up next here on the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Krivitsky.
You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Bobby Krivitsky alongside Brendan Connolly coming to you live from the Pepe compound. in Boston, Massachusetts. Brendan, let's talk baseball, shall we?
Okay.
So, the MLB trade deadline, as mentioned earlier, August 2nd. It's rapidly approaching at this juncture. Let's start with Juan Soto. We dove into all the details surrounding why we both expect him to get dealt last week real quickly, because not everyone was listening at that particular time, of course. It's just the reality when you turn down 15 years, $440 million, and that's really the best that your current organization can go to. They're about to have an ownership sale, so they'd like this taken care of before that happens, so the previous, now current regime gets it done before the new one comes in. And also, teams are going to be looking at having three pennant races with one of the best players in the game, so they're itching to get Juan Soto now. Where do you think he ultimately lands?
I'm looking at a couple of teams here. I think St. Louis is a possibility. I think the Mets are an option. I think the Yankees could potentially make a run at him, especially if they know that they're going to lose a guy like Aaron Judge. They'll want to keep a big bat in their lineup. I just don't see any of the weaker teams with great farm systems making a push for him right now, like the Mariners or somebody. I think it's going to be a big market team.
Yeah, I totally do as well. And I have a specific in mind. There's plenty. We've seen lists of different reports. I remember that Bob Nightingale put out like eight teams that included the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets were on there, bunch of squads. The one to me that I think ultimately walks away the winner of the Juan Soto sweepstakes, the San Francisco Giants. They can offer three top 100.
You keep harping to them. Like, you keep jumping to the Giants. So that's been your favorite.
I didn't even know. I didn't remember that I brought them up last week.
You did.
Well, I stand by it. I feel like I arrived on the take all over again. So, yes, the Giants, they have three top 100 prospects to offer. I believe that two of them are in the top 15 or 20, something like that. Maybe it's top 25. It's no further out than that. So they can offer two in that range and another one in the top 100 who's like 65th or something. So to be able to go with that type of package, have the financial capital to pay Soto, and be a team that is accustomed to winning. They've won the second most World Series titles this century behind the Red Sox. I think that's ultimately who comes away with Soto.
I am curious to see who steps up, because whoever does acquire his services is going to have that bat for a couple of years, and they're going to be an immediate World Series contender, in my opinion. He's just that type of a talent.
There were 12 players from the Futures game older than Juan Soto, who's only 23 and widely considered in the top three among best players in the game today. So you can get him for a few more arbitration years before the big contract kicks in. You could buy him out and give him a 10-year deal that theoretically doesn't end until he's 33 years old. I mean, this guy, he's going to command a gargantuan haul wherever he ends up.
Yep, and you know it's going to have to be at least an 8 to 10-year deal. You can't. No, he's not going to take some 15-year contract where he's getting $25 to $30 million a year. You're going to have to pay out the nose to get this guy. But he'll be worth it, especially in the next couple of years. All these contracts are going to get even worse. They're going to get crazier as time passes. So make the deal right now. Heck, if I was the Red Sox and I was their GM, I would throw some prospects at him because you have the pool to do it. I just don't see them doing it this year.
I do not see the Red Sox doing it. I definitely want to get to the Red Sox, but first, let me hit you with this.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the team you look at among the World Series contenders right now and say, yes, they're in the mix, but they also appear to be most in need of an upgrade, of making a needle-moving type of acquisition between now and August 2nd? You want me to go first? Because I've got mine locked and loaded.
Oh, then go for it.
We've got a lot of people from this fan base listening right now, including, I think, I'm pretty sure, yes, I'm going to go with I'm 100% confident and be willing to risk that I'm wrong, but I believe that our producer, John Bellmer, is in this fan base as well, and that is the Houston Astros. They are currently a game and a half back of the Yankees in the American League, a definitive World Series contender. I love the lineup, but I look at the pitching, and I think the bullpen could use some support. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they added an arm to the rotation. I don't know if they go that direction, but definitively, I think that, you know, you look at Ryan Pressly, and sometimes it feels like that arm just isn't performing up to the level it's capable of. I think they could use some help. You know, that bullpen was loaded last year, and a key part of why they got to the World Series and nearly won it. So to be able to strengthen that at a minimum would go a long way for Houston.
I'm going to say the Yankees, and not just because I of what you just said. The Astros are making their push. I think it's because, did you see the All-Star game and the interviews going around the outside of it? Aaron Judge happened to do one, I think. So you never know. That's something that could possibly derail a team mentally. Maybe you make a deal for a guy like Soto, as I just mentioned, or at least some big bat that'll really energize the fan base and get everyone back in and just get the team excited going forward for the next couple of months before they try to make their World Series push.
So real quick, for those who didn't see the Aaron Judge interview at the All-Star game, to make it as concise as possible, he basically made it clear that he doesn't expect to be re-signed by the Yankees. It was a question about a fan who wants Aaron Judge to be Yankee for life, and he said, I hope you'll be an Aaron Judge fan moving forward no matter what, to paraphrase.
If you had a message for a young boy who's struggling or at a hospital, I forget how it went. It was like a young fan who really...
I didn't
really
think it was at a hospital type thing. But
or it was if for a young fan who doesn't want to see you leave. Or
yeah,
it was,
he said, I hope you'll continue to be an Aaron Judge
It was
Judge
a heartfelt
fan.
Question, and then Aaron Judge basically was like... There are other great Yankees out there. Don't worry about me.
there's a noticeable gap between what the two sides, the asking price and what the Yankees are going to. The Yankees rose their offer to about $32 million. Judge wants about $36 million, and I don't think the Yankees are going any higher. And clearly Aaron Judge doesn't either, even though he's having a monster season and firmly in the mix for AL MVP. I do agree with you that I don't think – the Yankees, especially when a team is rolling.
Record-wise, no.
I don't think they get derailed by this, but I do think that...
It could be a distraction.
I think that making moves is the type of thing that when you show your clubhouse you're invested, it gives you a little more confidence, a little more juice. And then the other thing I look at is that the Yankees, and especially Cashman, are the type that monitor what's going on around the league and will react at times. So, for example, it used to be commonplace when they would spend big money that they would lay low in the weeds and then swoop in with the giant offer that tops what everyone else is doing. I could see them taking that approach to the Juan Soto bidding war that's probably already started, I would think. And so I could see them having the last offer submitted and doing their best. They have a very good farm system to try and top the Giants, the Dodgers, the Mets, what everyone else has brought to the table.
Oh, I could definitely see that. This is their year, because I feel like Cashman and the Yankees have followed the Red Sox in terms of just their philosophy as an organization, trying to get the most out of the least. This year, I mean, you have such a good record. You're the best team in the majors at this point. Make a splash if you're the Yankees and go for it, because this is your opportunity.
By the way, you've got the Dodgers, who are loaded on your tail. It is now 66 wins for the Yankees and 64 for L.A. So they're hot on their heels. That is a loaded team with Betts, with Walker Buehler, and all the pitching that they have. You know, Urias, I mean, just an absolutely stacked squad. Trey Turner is having a monster season. Some people thought he should have been NL MVP last season. It is tough to pull that off when you get traded in the middle of the campaign, though. So, I mean, they can look at it and feel good about where they are in relation to the rest of the American League. You look at it, and the team in third place, the Blue Jays, 12.5 back of the Pinstripes. But then you look over to the NL. There is the possibility of a Subway Series Part 2, which would be fun to watch, especially if those arms on the Mets side of the equation are healthy. But you look at the Dodgers and all the talent they already have there. I mean, they added
seems like a fait accompli that they're going to be there.
Bellinger. Yeah, so that would be two powerhouses going head-to-head. And I actually would say that I don't care that the Yankees are two games better in late July than the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are the more talented team at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like it's coming down to three teams here. It's going to be the Yankees and the Astros vying to play the Dodgers in the World Series, unless something crazy happens, in my opinion. That it just seems like it's just destined to be that way this year.
I agree with that, and this is not to say that, hey, the Dodgers don't have the bats or the arms, but just looking at it from a Mets side, they do have the talent in that rotation that if they've got Scherzer and DeGrom and company going full throttle in October, I mean, that's going to be tough for any lineup to get through.
Now, if I'm the Mets, I would look at trying to bring in a DH, maybe J.D. Martinez.
Could be the move. I like where you're at there, stirring the pot at the end of the segment. Stick with us here on the Diehards, because coming up next, we got Connor Mack, professional sports handicapper from Pub Sports Radio, joining us here on the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Krivitsky.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Bobby Krivitsky alongside Brendan Connolly coming to you live from the Pepe compound in Boston, Massachusetts. We got John Belmer producing the show back in Houston. Excited now to get out to the Progressive guest line where we are joined by Connor Mack, a professional sports handicapper for Pub Sports Radio. Connor, thanks as always for taking the time to join us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Bobby. It's a nice day here in Vegas. Well, nice. It's raining. It's like 82 degrees, some thunderstorms, but we need the rain out here. All we can get out here in the desert.
That is for sure. A chance to get away from that oppressive humidity and cool off for a bit at a frigid 82 for the desert. And so, Connor, let's start with the news du jour, and that is the gossip surrounding Kevin Durant and Jaylen Brown. And it started with a late night, especially on the East Coast, Woj bomb, saying that the Celtics have offered Jaylen Brown as the centerpiece of a package in hopes of acquiring Kevin Durant. Shams Charania of The Athletic added to that reporting this morning, saying that the Nets countered what Boston was offering and said you need to put reigning defensive player of the year Marcus Smart in the package. If you've got any insight on it, we'd love for you to break that news or at least share it here on the Diehards. Otherwise, I'm just asking for your reaction to this latest reporting.
I thought the reaction was pretty, I think that's the key, the reigning defensive player of the year. That needs to be in on the deal. And that could be the breaker here, just like you mentioned. White and a pick with Brown wasn't enough, and I think they're at a standstill in this one. You know, and going by all the tweet, you know, Jaylen Brown with this, you know, smush tweet, you know, kind of like, you know, and going to years back when he used to like tweets, I remember when he used to do that. You know how the NBA goes, everyone gets into a ruckus.
It's part of what
about,
makes it so entertaining.
Of course, I love it too. So, I check all that stuff out as well. I think he stayed in the end. You know, it's such a tough thing. We know who Kevin Durant is, and now he's going to be 34 years old. You have Jaylen Brown for two more years. I think he stays in Boston, but maybe they think this wasn't this. We went through it. We just went for a title. You have Tatum. Obviously, Brown's there for two more years, right? So 23, 24.
Yep.
So they think they'd have to pull the trigger, and I just think it's too much. I'd rather keep Brown, but maybe from everything, the guys get along, but maybe it doesn't work there in Boston. Because, I thought they, you know, it was tough this year, but I thought they were on the brink. And I think you let it ride in the next couple of years because I think the Nets want too much in this deal. You know, and I don't think the Celtics are going to give it up. But it's definitely fascinating. And I don't know where Durant goes. I mean, the circus of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving is so fascinating to watch in these offseasons. But I don't know if this ends up, unless they want to give up all that. And, man, that'd be crazy to do. But I could see it. I think it'd be a mistake in the long run. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Kevin Durant comes over. He's not the player of even 5 years ago, you know, with the Warriors. You know, he's not 29. He's 34, almost 35. He maybe has two more years, I think, of really high elite. And if he can stay healthy, all these guys, too, in the NBA now, take days off. They all need to play. They can't play back-to-back. You can't get the reports. You know, I love that about the NBA with these guys. You know, they have, yeah, the prima donna of, you know, I can't play three in a row or blah, 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 or back-to-back city. So, but it helps.
They've definitely tried,
like
Connor, to help out the gamblers with more. You know, they've tried to do more reporting on the injury front, a little bit like football, but last year was the first year of it, so I'm not sure how beneficial it was to people in your profession.
It did. Last year was a little bit better. It's still at times to get you, but years before that, the 4 or 5 years before that, I used to hear everything from everybody. Yeah, how bad they said it. But it's a little bit better. But the NBA, they still like to keep that, you know, a little bit of a secret, you know, even last year. But I think it's fascinating as well. I think if I were the Celtics, I'd keep Brown. I don't think they want to give that up either. And I'd keep him.
Well, Connor, let's say the Celtics have an inkling that maybe Jaylen Brown isn't committed to them long term for some reason or another. Do you pull the trigger on the deal?
That's interesting. Is 2 years enough? Because, yeah, he's going to get a massive contract, probably a max contract once he's up in 23-24. Is that enough for you to keep that? Or is it just in kind of not implode, but get rid of all these pieces, get rid of him, and get KD and see what you can do when the next two? It's kind of, to me, it's just a 2 years no matter what. Because you in 2 years, you'd have to re-sign Brown, basically. So it's just you get Durant for this year. If you pull the trigger on this trade this summer, you get Durant, you know, for the next year or two, and the same thing with Brown. So it's basically a two-year deal, I think, for either side, because in the end, you're right, after 2024, they're going to have to pay Brown or hit the market.
And another question I have for you, do the Celtics championship odds drastically increase if they do end up pulling the trigger and dealing Brown and Marcus Smart and a bevy of picks for Durant?
I think they, you know, I think they go up maybe a little bit, but I think they're right there. You know, I haven't checked the odds, to tell you the truth, on the NBA for the championship in the last few weeks since the end of the year. But I think it goes up, you know, up. I think Durant gives it a little bump. They get a little shorter. But I think this team is set to win, at least in the East, that they're the top three team for the next few years. They're one, two, or three. And I think we'll be right there close to the finals. So I think, yeah, they get a little, you know, shorter if they got Durant.
Yeah, and further to your point, Connor, there are sports books like FanDuel that already have the Celtics as the betting favorites to win the championship this season. Now, granted, there's not a Kevin Durant resolution yet, whether that's Celtics or not, but at the moment, the Celtics are already in the catbird seat in some places' eyes without KD. So that they seem to be in good shape, and I'm with you. I think the risks involved for going, you know, trying to bolster your odds, quote-unquote, in the short term, probably not worth it considering what they already have.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, yeah, you're all right, Paul, because I just pulled it up. I thought the Celtics, yeah, would be right below at 6 or 7, but, no, you're right. They are number one here. I'm looking at 450, plus 450 on them, and then the Warriors.
Yeah, they got a big bump right after the Brogdon trade.
Yeah, Vegas Insider, yeah. Caesars Sportsbook, BetMGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, they all list the Celtics as the favorite team to win the NBA title next year, and the Bucks as the second.
Yeah, it's wild, and it would get shorter, I think, if Durant. I think that would get shorter than even 4-1, you know, plus 450. So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, agreed there as well. Connor, let's switch gears and talk about the action playing out on the diamond right now as we speak. Any games that you have that you want to bring to mind, feel free to add them too. But one that I look at right now that's unfolding, I have it at last check, bottom fifth, Phillies and Braves, 3-3, two of the top teams in the National League, the Phillies fighting for a spot in the wild card. Is this one that you saw, you know, a good place to take action on as part of this matchup?
This is fascinating because the Phillies played some of their best baseball right before the break, and their bullpen was phenomenal. It shook me. But bullpens do that throughout the year on all Major League Baseball teams. They kind of ebb and flow and go up and down. But that was the best 14 days that bullpen's been all year for the Phillies, and they played well before the break. And I had some of my friends, the Philly people, they told me, Philly's got the easiest schedule the second half. They play the Cubs, the Pirates, and what do? They come out and get swept by the Cubs. I said,
right
on
brand.
They have to beat those teams. You got to beat the Pirates. You got to sweep the Cubs, not get swept. So it's very interesting. I still think they're a bad defensive baseball team. That bullpen's very bad. And in the end, Bryce Harper not being in that lineup, it just hurts them. You know, they kind of can patch it together, yeah, as long as they can. But I just think it's going to hurt them. Can they hang around for a wild card? Maybe. But this was an interesting game here today. This was one I looked at. I thought the Braves, it wasn't a great spot for them. I think the Phillies were a little bit hungry here. I thought about taking the Braves first five, maybe a half a run. I stayed off, and we got a 3-3 ball game here in the top of the fifth. I'd maybe look to them live. I think they have the better bullpen and that they have the better bats. But this is the Phillies team desperately needs to win here tonight.
Connor, if we were to make a bet on the Red Sox here with a week to go before the trade deadline, do you think they're going to be buyers or sellers?
I think they're sellers.
Blow it up?
They don't have the pitching. I think they got to – I don't know how full the blow-up is, but does that mean Bogart goes?
Well, so that was going to be my question to you. My take, you tell me if you agree with this or not, Connor, would be that they come forth between now and August 2nd with their best offer to him and see where that takes them. And if it's a no on his part, then I think there's a good chance that he would ultimately waive his no-trade clause.
I agree with you. I mean, there's two guys that I just think they're, you know, it's Devers and Bogaerts. I think you can build around them at their age and what they do. I would keep both of those guys. Anybody else is expendable on that team, to me. Everybody.
Totally
trade-worthy. So, if he rejects that, that'd be crazy. I think then you go the other route. And I just don't think they should do it with them. But maybe it's going to be so interesting. I'm fascinated what they're going to do because I don't know what they're going to do. To tell you the truth, I hear whispers. But I think they're going to blow it up. And I just, it's so, and you're right, Bobby. It all goes, I think, to Bogaerts. If he, you know, if they can pay him enough, if he'll accept it, if he wants it. It's kind of like Soto. You know, he's like, I don't want to be here. I don't think that's not enough money. I want to get out of here. So I think that could be what the Red Sox happens with Bogaerts.
Connor, you're reading my mind because that's exactly who I'm bringing up next. In the last segment, we made our predictions for where we think Juan Soto ends up by the time the deadline expires. Where do you think he ultimately goes?
You know what? I think, you know what? I don't know if he goes anywhere. I think he has to
really?
Now.
Really?
Well, I think he has to now.
That would be the most fun and surprising prediction/outcome that I've heard yet.
Well, I think he goes now because it got out. You know, he didn't want that to be leaked out. It got out.
They wouldn't even pay for his flight to the All-Star game.
Oh, I know. Hey, he won the Derby, so that's all that matters. He got it done. I think it's the Dodgers. They have the best. They have the most prospects. For everything I hear, you know, it could be a team like the Mets or the Padres, but I don't know if the Nats bite. That's the problem. Rizzo and them are very strict on wanting enough back. He's very, you know, so I think he
They can be patient.
They could be patient, and really, that's the only problem what I see on that side, because the other side, I think the Dodgers are the team that has it. I think they could give them locks, somebody else, and their two or their three top draft picks, and that'd be enough to get them off. And, I'd love to see him in L.A., but that's a different story.
I mean, if he's not in L.A., I'll just, cards on the table. My prediction was your rivals out in the Bay. I think the Giants are another team that have the prospects and financial capital to get it done, but certainly the Dodgers are a machine that keeps on rolling, though, so they have as good a chance as anyone who's going to be in the mix for them.
Definitely.
He is Connor Mack, a professional sports handicapper from Pub Sports Radio, a sharp among sharps. Be sure to tail his picks. I hope you were writing down the insights he was providing and the gems he was dropping tonight, because consistently he puts more money into the pockets and the bank accounts of our loyal listeners. Connor, thanks as always for taking the time tonight.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Bobby.
When we come back, we are going to talk about an NFL player sailing off into the sunset and a noticeable absence from David Ortiz's induction at Cooperstown over the weekend. We got all that and a whole lot more coming up next in hour number two of the Diehards, which you're listening to on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Basketball Insider's Bobby Krivitsky.
You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Bobby Krivitsky alongside Brendan Connolly coming to you live from the Pepe compound in Boston, Massachusetts. We got John Bellmer producing the show back in Houston, making sure the train stays on the tracks. Brendan, I had someone today, I'm walking down the street, car pulls up and says, you know your co-host, Brendan Connolly? I'm always trying to hit him up to see just his general gems that he's dropping over the course of a day on social media, but I can't find his handle. So why don't you tell him and our loyal listeners where they can find you on Twitter?
Well, that listener can find me at BCON63 on Twitter, BCONN63, and I'm always spitting out hot takes and trying to stir the pot, but I also cover the Celtics and the Bruins occasionally, and some high school sports for the Boston Herald, too. So you can check out my work there.
I responded by saying, off the top of my head, I don't have Brendan's Twitter account, but I will ask him on the air tonight for you. Make sure you're listening specifically at about 8:56, 8:57 p.m. Eastern. And, oh, by the way, I said, if you want to follow me, it's at Bobby Krivitsky, B-O-B-B-Y-K-R-I. V as in Victor, I-T-S-K-Y, and he was walking away as I was talking to him. He did not seem interested. So then I shouted, you know, by the way, you can also check me out at SportsIllustratedSI.com.
And then he turned around.
I covered the Celtics for them. He took off even faster.
Oh,
the strides got longer. There was more pace behind it. You could see a little more power putting into each step, lower center of gravity all of a sudden. And before you know it, I lost him in the distance.
That's disappointing. You do great work. Come on, don't feel down about yourself.
You know, you try to give the people what they want. He is a loyal Brendan Connolly stan who he seemed in dismay that he could not seem to find you on Twitter. So we had to connect you to one of your loyal fans.
I appreciate it. There are many fans out there looking to find my social media handles for sure, I would bet.
And we got more of Brendan's hot takes and pot stirring coming up in hour number two of the Diehards. To give you a little sample, just a preview, we've got a notable NFL player retiring, a glaring absence at David Ortiz's enshrinement in Cooperstown over the weekend. We've got more NBA gossip to discuss revolving the likes of Russell Westbrook and Utah Jazz star Donovan Mitchell. We're also going to be doing an Around the Horn style segment related to the NFL with training camp fast approaching in a couple days. We've got all that and a whole lot more coming up, and you're listening to us here on the Diehards on Sports Map Radio Network.